Back here on Sports Talk, Saints football hitting the road this week. Black and gold take on the Rams in Los Angeles on Saturday in preseason action. We got the joint workout tomorrow after they just had a one with the Dallas Cowboys yesterday. Today was a light workout for the black and gold as they recover from that physical practice, helping us break things down. WWL Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak out in California. Hey, man, how's it been going, Jeff? I know you've been loving the temperatures out there for sure.
Yeah. The only thing that's been hot has been the tempers at practice. But yeah, no, it's been great weather. You know, it's been good work for the Saints. They really didn't do much today at all. It was very much just a walkthrough. No, they weren't even in uniform. They were wearing the kind of t-shirts with the numbers on them. So not a ton to report from today, but yeah, a lot of interest in how that joint practice goes tomorrow.
Before we get into some of the things from yesterday, just curious, any updates injury-wise from some of the guys that did leave the practice yesterday?
Not really. No, I think they're still kind of assessing. Obviously, we heard this morning that Alvin Kamara should miss some time, you know, a few weeks at the minimum with a knee injury. Quincy Riley's groin injury sounds like he's going to miss some time as well. Nothing season-altering type situation as far as I can understand, but you know, obviously not what you want to see for your starting outside corner. So, you know, we're going to have to figure out who gets the nod, right? Is it going to be Ike Yiadom? Is it going to be Martin Emerson Jr.? That's something that we'll learn more in Thursday's practice, who kind of steps up onto that first line. It had been Ike previously, but I think Martin's been playing really well. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if they kind of shift him into that role across from Kool-Aid. But, you know, that's the other one. And then Ronnie Bell, who left practice yesterday, you know, nothing significant. He was out there today. So whether he, you know, practices tomorrow, I'm not sure, but he's feeling okay.
You mentioned that with Ronnie Bell. Man, the footage, though, that was released from folks in California, you saw him being taken off on a cart, and you feared the worst, of course.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you just got to ride a cart. I mean, I think people overreact to the cart sometimes. Always a devastating injury. Sometimes they just, you know, don't feel like walking.
Well, you know, the most players, though, they just don't want to even get on the cart. Nobody wants to be wheeled off the field.
That's true. Some people don't mind. I wouldn't mind a nice cart ride now and then. I think it was more about that than necessarily the severity of the injury.
Looking at, we talked about the fights that broke out there. It seemed like every other snap, something was happening that was, you know, whether it's fisticuffs, foot pushing and shoving. How really intense was it out there, Jeff?
I mean, you've seen some of the clips from the offensive side of the ball. That's where the real significant kind of altercations were. There was dust ups on the defensive side. I would say the Saints defense was who prompted a majority of them, because it was mostly just, hey, you know, on one play, for example, the Cowboys tight end, I think it was Brevin Span Ford, you know, he's going down toward the goal line. It's red zone work. Justin Reed comes up and kind of pops him with a shoulder. And so he's still fighting. And then Martin Emerson Jr. comes in a second time and pops him again. And it's like, that's the first one I think he was okay with. That second one he took exception to. And then you get the little pushing and shoving. But you know, it is what it is, right? I don't think you would overreact to what happened on the defensive side for the Saints. I do think the offensive side got a little out of hand, where you see guys, you know, ripping helmets off and chucking helmets down the field. You see Brock Recksteiner, you know, suplexing a guy. I think Jalen Thompson, who was the safety, who got into that altercation, probably bit off a bit more than he could chew there. I'm not sure he knows Brock's background. All he knew was, hey, he's wearing a wide receiver number. I could take that guy. Little did he know. But, I mean, I don't think it you have to make it into anything more than it is. The practice got a little out of hand. They were able to rein it back in. I don't expect that's what we'll see tomorrow against the Rams. There's something about those open joint practices that adds a little intensity to it. It's rare that you see that type of energy in a closed practice. But yeah, it was just something. Yesterday was just kind of a weird day, you know, like the defense was in weird numbers. It was just kind of a strange environment. I think that got the better of some folks.
You mentioned McCoy tossing the helmet. I guess he was just channeling his inner Kyle Turley right there.
Yeah, I mean, he got it pretty far downfield too.
Did you ever think that there was any danger of them calling the practice because so many scuffles were breaking out, or do you feel like the coaches kind of had it under wraps?
I mean, I think you have to consider it at a certain point. They were able to get it kind of reined in. Donovan Isaraku, who's second-year edge rusher for the Cowboys, he got sent off because he threw a punch. And so I think that's probably what would have happened prior to them just canceling practice. You probably would have said, you, go go hit the showers early, and we're going to work out without you. But again, I think I'm sure it's something that's been brought up in meetings, you know, and I'm sure the coaches weren't too happy about it. But at the same time, I think there is some level of bonding that that occurs within a team when you kind of get into one of those brawls. So, again, I don't think it's anything we need to keep talking about beyond what it is, but it definitely drew way more attention away from the practice than I'm sure coaches and players would have preferred to see.
Yeah, you mentioned Rex Steiner's move, and even wrestling Twitter sites are retweeting the clip of him with that suplex, so getting more notoriety there. I know you watched the defense of the Saints yesterday. Overall, how did you feel like they went against Dak and Co? I know we saw a pick, one pick I saw at least on the day. Were there any others?
Interception. They had one interception. That was Julian Blackmon. It was kind of a ball that was a little overthrown. I think he was trying to find Pickens in the middle of the field. And that's just what Blackmon does really well. He's good at finding, you know, knowing where to be, getting to the spot, and then making plays on the ball. When he gets a chance to intercept the ball, he makes it. And you appreciate that about a safety. Just in general, I thought they played well. That's a good offense. You have George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb. You know, that's tough. I think they did a good job locking down on CeeDee. Like Kool-Aid McKinstry was matched up with him a lot of the day, and he handled it well. The Saints were kind of rotating in the second string DBs. So you saw, you know, George Pickens had a deep play downfield. Julian Blackmon falls down, and it's Ike Adam in coverage, and he goes up for kind of a jump ball and makes the play. But it was the Cowboys' first team offense against like a combination of the Saints' first and second teamers. And that's something we saw last year as well. I think Kellen and Brandon Staley value kind of that mixed group where, hey, you know, it's great to get all this work with our starting 11, but what if we're down one cornerback? What if we're down a linebacker, right? What if we have to mix this guy and this guy? So I think they put an emphasis on getting looks at a group of 11 that might have a few filling guys. And I think that's the stage of the offseason that we're in, the preseason that we're in, where they're just making sure guys have reps next to other players they're comfortable. The defensive line, I thought, got better as the practice went on. They were getting kind of gashed early on in the run game. Javonte Williams had a nice long run early in the practice. But, you know, that's when they started to ramp up the physicality, and that's when the altercation started. So I think it was kind of, you know, that was kind of a gut check moment for them. Like, hey, we're not getting gashed all day in the run game. Let's make them feel it. I thought Carl Granderson had a particularly good practice. What we saw on that day, and what I think we're going to continue to see, is the Cowboys offensive line was paying a lot of attention to Chase Young. Like, you're not necessarily game planning in these practices, but they definitely went in with the idea of, hey, we're going to push some attention his way so that he can't destroy everything we're trying to do. And if that's going to be the case, and that's going to be the game plan for a lot of opposing offenses, it's going to be on Carl or whoever, Kyrie, Cam Jordan, whoever's on that opposite side and pulling one-on-ones. You got to win those one-on-ones, and that's what I think Carl did yesterday really well. Was when he was, you know, when he was matched up one-on-one, he was able to get into the backfield. Vernon Brown had a couple of nice pressures. So just in general, I thought it was a good competitive day. That's a really good offense. The Saints, you know, the Rams are going to be a really good offense tomorrow, even though they're down a few pieces. I'm happy with the way the defense has come along. And you know, as we've heard, as I'm sure you've heard from the other side of the field, it was a lot of Chris Olave. It was a lot of efficiency on that other side. So I think the Saints in general are going to be happy with what they saw out there on tape.
Yeah, loved hearing about, you know, Chris Olave and Tyler Shuck hooking up, just really dismantling that Dallas defense. Are you noticing more of that chemistry shift between those two, Shuck and Olave, from the beginning of camp until now?
Yeah, I think they're dialing it in. You know, I think they're getting a little more comfortable. It's easy to forget, you know, Chris didn't participate in team drills during OTAs or minicamp. He was there, but he was not in kind of the full contact drills. He was out for the first couple days of camp, right? So he got a little bit of a slow start. I think the timing for those guys is starting to kind of get where you need it to be. You know, Tyler's being able to throw with more anticipation. Chris is able to read what his quarterback's doing. And that's important because, as we know, Jordan Tyson's going to miss some time. We haven't seen Devon Bailey out there lately. I think he's getting kind of rest days, which is strange, but it is what it is. And so, like, that's that kind of connection between those two guys. If you want to win games early in the season, it's got to be kind of in mid-season form. Like, you're not going to have the luxury of being able to kind of just grow into it. Like, you need to go out there and feel like these two guys are going to dominate on offense. And for the last week or so, that's what it's looked like. It didn't necessarily feel that way early on in camp. The offense was struggling. You know, the defense was kind of taking them to task a little bit. But, you know, I think this group has kind of found its identity over the last week. We didn't see the deep passing yesterday that we saw against the Jaguars. And I think that, you know, I think they came out last week in that joint practice with kind of a purpose of getting the ball downfield, just to kind of maybe even prove they could do it. So I'd still like to see more of that. You got Bryce Lance and Berrion Brown out there. I'd like to see them get attacked downfield. But otherwise, I mean, I can't be upset with how that's gone. You know, I like how they're using the running backs. You know, Devin Neal and Kendre Miller were back out there yesterday. Alvin Kamara left with the injury. He's going to miss some time. So, no, I mean, I think there's some positive things on offense for sure.
Hey, Jeff, if I can hop in here real quick. We've talked a little bit about Chris Olave and how good he's looked this offseason. I thought against his teammates he looked really impressive. That joint practice against the Jacksonville Jaguars and more of the same against the Cowboys. You've been covering him going back years his whole career now. Do you think this is the best he's ever looked in any offseason?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think he's a lot more confident in who he is as a player right now than maybe he was a few years ago. I mean, remember last year, it's tough because you're talking about, hey, is he going to be able to get out there and play? You know, and he didn't just do that. He played in 16 games. I think that, you know, he needed that. He needed to not necessarily prove it to himself. I think he always believed he could, but, you know, I think a lot of people doubted whether he could get through a full season. You know, 100 catches, 1,200 yards, like that builds a lot of confidence. And I think generally speaking, like when you can bring a guy back, a wide receiver back with a quarterback who's developing and they have that chemistry together, I think that that works wonders for both guys. Tyler's confident in Chris that Chris is going to do well and, you know, make him look good as a quarterback and vice versa. Like Chris is confident that Tyler's going to get him the ball where he needs it to be. You know, not going to be throwing him into dangerous situations. Like, he understands where to deliver the ball, what Chris does well. So, no, I think there's just a lot of confidence on both ends of that connection. And that's what you're seeing out there, is you're seeing guys that feel like they know how to attack defenses. I remember last year, early on in that connection, we saw a lot of miscommunications, right? There was two interceptions last year where Tyler thought that Chris was going to keep going downfield, and he threw it downfield, and Chris reads it differently and breaks it back. And then the ball just kind of sails and gets picked off. I think there was one against the Dolphins and one against the Bucks, very similar plays. We haven't seen a lot of that this year. Like, we've seen them be on the same page. So yeah, I think that all kind of builds into it.
Looking at tomorrow's joint workout now coming up against the LA Rams, are there any things that you're going to be looking for besides obviously taking attendance right away, seeing who's going to be out there that you want to see going into this preseason matchup? We've been talking about it a ton, that it seems like the first teamers getting these reps in the joint sessions is really where it's at, and then the game's going to kind of be for the second and third string guys.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be even a little bit more extreme tomorrow than we had seen it. Like, I think you're going to get a lot of reps for the ones, and, you know, maybe even like 3-1 reps for the ones versus reps for the twos and threes. And they've been kind of combining the twos and the threes. So it's tough to get a read on, you know, whether things have changed necessarily in the backup quarterback conversation. I don't think they have substantively right now. I think they're pretty much in the same boat. But now, I mean, just generally speaking, like I said, you know, I want to see who kind of steps into that CB2 role. Is it going to be Ike? Is it going to be Martin? And then who plays better? Yeah, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they just rotate and you see some of those reps as Martin, some of those reps as Ike. You know, and I think they've had Ike to the close side of the field to this point. So, you know, do you just go with him because you want to keep Kool-Aid to the wide side of the field? It's a question that we'll kind of get answers to, but no, I just want to see them continue to execute. I'd like to see Devon Bailey out there. You know, it was disappointing not to have him out there on Tuesday. They said it was a rest day.
So there's been no like announced injury he's dealing with.
No, but it's a strange explanation because, you know, he didn't play in the preseason game. They had a walkthrough on Friday or off on Sunday, and Monday was a light practice, basically a walkthrough. So what's the rest for, is my question. It's a strange explanation when you're coming off of effectively four rest days. And he had a rest day last week. He's a third-year player. He's 28. So I don't know. It's a weird one. I'd hope to see him out there. I don't expect him on Saturday. And if you don't get him out there tomorrow, then that would mean he's going like 2 weeks without any major practices, and that's not what you want. So we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, I'd like to see the wide receivers beyond Chris Olave get into the mix. That's probably the next thing I want to see. I'll be back watching the offense tomorrow. Like, I need to see who else is going to impact this team beyond Chris Olave. When he's getting doubled or bracketed or whatever and you can't go to him with the ball, who else is getting open? Like, that's what I want to find out.
Always appreciate the time, Jeff, and I don't know, we'll see what happens tomorrow, but get ready, I guess, for a more physical and maybe some more fisticuffs tomorrow against the Rams.
No, no fights. Zero fights. I'm setting the over-under at 0.5, and I'm betting the under.
Wow. Thanks a lot, man.
All right, yeah, take it easy.
Taking a break here on WWL Sports Talk. You just heard from Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak out in California, gearing up for that joint workout against the LA Rams tomorrow. We'll talk about more Saints coverage and a little bit about LSU and some kind of kooky college football news right after this on WWL.